Nothing reigned upstairs. Truth was what I wanted my life to look like. And it was very sliding scale. I'd shoot an arrow, and then I'd paint the bullseye around wherever the arrow landed, because I said it must be that way. And everything was very muddled and very... And then I got saved. And then a maturation process started to happen. Wisdom started to happen a little bit. You know, if you say I'm wise, it's one of those things you can't really... But wisdom started to happen. Can I say that? Why? Because I started reading the Bible, and all my fuzzy-headedness, all the things I was vague about, all started to become crystal clear. And most of the things that I found they were on the wrong side. Like, change everything you think about, everything's wrong. And I had to like jettison all that and start learning true truth, wisdom. And it started to become plain to him that understands, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Hey, listen, I ain't got time for this wisdom stuff. I gotta, you know, get out there, I gotta earn a living, I gotta make money. Why? Wisdom's better than all that. How do you figure that, Adam? Because you'll take wisdom with you to the next world. You won't take any silver or gold. Everything that you own here that you think is dear, you're going to leave it all behind, except wisdom, except who you are, except the real you. And all those, I'm fond of saying, like 100 years from now, nobody's going to care what car you drove here on earth. Wisdom will still be with you. It won't desert you. A simple thing like death doesn't disentangle you, disenfranchise. I'm getting rid of wisdom because I died. No, that goes with. Wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I don't know how can it be said better than that? I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. I don't know a better way to say that. What do you say, discretion? Yeah, and that's what it means. But I'm able to understand stuff, and I wasn't able to understand it before. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy is the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. He said earlier in the book, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So is the fear of the Lord the beginning of wisdom, or is it hating evil? Same thing. When you fear the Lord, you will hate evil, and that is the beginning of wisdom. So I end up start learning the Bible. I start understanding stuff. What's the first thing that's going to happen? Repentance. Wholesale repentance. All the things I've been doing are all wrong. I'm going to turn away from all of them. I'm going to fear the Lord, and I'm going to hate evil, and I'm going to start filling my brain with all this wisdom. All those things. Counsel is mine. Sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign, hopefully, not always. And princes decree justice. If it's going to be just justice, and again, I have to go down another level and describe justice, because justice isn't always just here in America, as we've seen. A famous comedian years ago said, you know, in the halls of justice, the only justice is out in the halls. I ain't too far from wrong. And he said that back in the 60s. Why? Because America's turning from God, turning from wisdom. And then we sit and we talk about, you hear this? Will you hear this? And some shocking thing. It only shocks me when they get it right. Once you say, I don't believe in God, I don't accept God, we don't embrace God, is the country here, God, thanks for showing up, we can do this without you, the chance of you getting anything right are basically nil to a very, very low number. And the only time we do get it right is when we have that Judeo-Christian ethic that's kind of survived. You know, so what is it? What was it? Early 1960s. I think it was 1962 or 1963. We said, God, out of the schools, we're not praying anymore. So what happened? Schools, everything about schools plummeted. SATs. I told you, I'm a product of public schools. What does that mean? I'm not so bright. Because schools in general, they didn't They didn't teach. I mean, it's hard to teach when you're trying to stop the kids from, you know, torturing each other, fighting, you know, when they don't listen to you, when it's just mayhem in the classroom all the time. Now, much of that mayhem I created, okay, because I didn't know the ways of wisdom and I was an agent for chaos. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you the way it was, okay? I was in the principal's office many times. Just, I thought that was fun. I thought that was funny. Poor teachers, I'd like to run into them all now, and I would throw myself at their feet, and I would beg forgiveness. I was such an idiot. You were so underpaid. Why didn't you just hit me and just be done with it, you know? But that was school. They couldn't really. Now, I went to parochial school for the first 6 years, and we had nuns, and they were a terror, and I wouldn't think about crossing them. I think it was maybe in the first grade, they hit me with one of them yardsticks for probably next to no reason at all. They didn't need much justification before they started swinging them around for it. They hit me on the back of the hand. I wasn't making my, in the Palmer method, I wasn't making my E's with enough loop to them or something, right? So Sister Mary Teresa, or I don't remember which one it was. You know, she smacked me good, and I went home and cried to my mom later on day. Sister Mary, she smacked me. And then my mom freaked out. What did you do to make that poor nun have to stop class to reprimand you? And so then I realized that, you know, you're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. And so learning happened rather begrudgingly. But I mean, I wasn't on board like a great student, but I realized that learn or die, and that was probably, you know, okay, because I learned a lot of things back then that I still carry with me today, you know, like, I mean serious things. Like, you know how people always mix up there, and there, and they don't know the difference? I do, and it makes me crazy. I saw a church on their front page when you open it up, we're glad you're here, we're, W-E-R-E, were, glad you're, Y-O-U-R, here. Now, if you're not shocked and appalled, it's because, well, because you went to public school, what can I say? But I learned all those things, and it was good for me. And then I kind of went away from it, because then I went to public school, and I was still an agent for mayhem, but I was kind of small potatoes compared to a lot of my classmates. Why? Because we kicked God out. Because God wasn't there. And what happened? Bad things ensued. I'm not surprised when America gets it wrong. I'm constantly surprised whenever they get it right. So the Supremes say, oh, let's see, who should get married? And they say, well, it doesn't matter whatever gender you are, whatever. Yeah, it's about, yeah, that's par for the course. You guys got that right. You're clueless. Let's kick God out. Let's try to make. So he's saying, by me, kings reign and princes decree justice. Well, when God's enthroned in your life, you probably make really good decisions. When God's not, what happens? Nothing good. By me, princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Lord, I really don't know what I'm supposed to be doing in this situation. Would you help me? Yes. I mean, I really do. I'm really in over my skis. Can you show me the way? Yes. Does that surprise us? It would surprise me if he ever didn't show up and didn't. I really don't know what to do in this situation. I'm going down a road I've never gone before, and I'm really like trying to scrambling to find the verses and the right activity and how I should have my mind thinking through this. Is it always like a fall down flat on my face, pick myself up, dust myself off, fall down flat again, you know, trial and error, and finally, well, it has been sometimes, but I'm not looking for the real answer. So I cry out to God, and I say, Lord, show me the way. And does he show up and tell me? Yeah. But he says he will. You remember in James, you're the double-minded man who's unstable in all his ways, and he says, if you seek wisdom, ask. I'll give it to you. I don't upbraid. It's not like I'm, oh, you're here again looking for wisdom. Well, it's the seventh time this week. God's never like that. And so if we really don't know how to handle a situation, this is an open book test, and we have the Spirit of God in us to guide us. Does he want to do that? He joys in doing that. I mean, he really does. Let's keep moving. I love them that love me. Those that seek me early shall find me. Seek and ye shall find, right? Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. Durable riches, what do you mean? The real riches, the kind that stay with you. Oh, you mean like gold? That ain't durable. That's in heaven, that's pavement. That's not durable riches. Oh, you might need some down here to get by, but durable riches with me, the kind that lasts forever. My fruit is better than gold. Oh, amen. Amen. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Look for me, like Solomon. God shows up with a blank check. Saul, what do you want? Wisdom. He says, good choice. And what does he give him? Wisdom and honor and riches and all the blessings on top of that. You know, pretty good. So that those who, so, it, but it's one of those things that's kind of like maybe not so, I want to tell you, I'm going to give you a prescription for happiness. Love Jesus immensely and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, to be happy, I'm going to chase happiness. You'll never find it. That'll be as elusive as chasing soap bubbles. Just forget about it, okay? You're never going to track them all down. You're never going to. So trying to be happy leads to misery. Trying to serve Jesus, love people leads to happiness. So you're thinking like, well, you know, I want some stuff while I'm here. I don't want to be begging. I don't want to be always worried about they're going to come and they're going to repossess my car and they're going to kick me out of my house and they're turning off the lights. And well, you know what you really got to worry yourself with? Wisdom. You say, well, I got to make the money. No, people make money and oodles of money who commit suicide, who take mind-altering chemicals and end up in Betty Ford Clinic. And money, if money led to happiness, then everyone, all the millionaires would be the happiest people on the earth, and they never are. It's axiomatic at this point. I mean, it's not like nobody's ever gone on that road and tell us, hey, it's I reached the mountaintop, I'm famous, I'm wealthy, I'm on my seventh marriage, my life is just unhappy altogether all the time. Chase wisdom. The riches are thrown in as a bonus. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. So before God created, he had wisdom. Well, we knew that. Otherwise, how did he create, right? When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens. I was there when he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth. Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. So God rejoicing in wisdom, especially if you personify wisdom and make it Jesus Christ, God's best boy. Obviously so. Was Jesus before the worlds began? Yeah, he was created. He's creator. All things were made by him, and not anything was made that was made without him. Colossians 1, maybe 18, I think. Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Verse 31, rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Really? Yeah, God loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Good song choice, by the way. We have to get the words to that, but that's been one of my favorites for a long, long time. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. You know, it's life and death. It's a life and death struggle, this wisdom. And it always is. And it always presents itself that way. So here's worldly wisdom, right? She's flattering with her lips. She's got that honey dripping lip. She's got the eyelids that are going to take you. And you're thinking, wow, look at those eyes. And you're mesmerized by her. And she's telling you how wonderful you are and how tremendous you are. Don't look at the eyes. Don't look at the lips. Look at the feet. They're going down to death. It's always that way. Worldly wisdom leads to death. Not always, always. You know, and I wish I could tell children this. I wish to high school kids this. You know, they're thinking like, oh, I'm going to go party, and all the rock and roll musicians, and everyone says, you know, and all their movie stars and everything, you know, live, be famous, it's all about you. And that way always ends in death. And they have to go like down that, like a very far way, it seems, before. And some of them turn around and figure it out before it's too late. But most of them just keep, you know, if a little's good, and maybe I'm not happy enough, maybe I need more drugs, more illicit sex, more rebellion, more, until you swallow it up in it. It always leads to death. Okay, chapter 9, wisdom hath, can't say the word, man, wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her 7 pillars, she hath killed her beasts, she hath mingled her wine, she hath also furnished her table. Remember in chapter 7, the lady, she comes from worship. Oh, I've come to seek you, and I've found you. Oh, God's so good to me. She has her peace offerings with her. What's she promising? She's promising barbecue. Well, look, wisdom, real wisdom, she's set her table too. She has killed her beasts, so there's barbecue there too. But it's better for you. It's going to be kosher, right? And I mean that in the sense of clean, not unclean. Not that I'm trying to advance a kosher diet. What kosher means is the idea of clean, okay? And I am trying to advance that cause. She's killed her beast. She has mingled her wine, symbol of joy, by the way, wine throughout all Scripture. She hath also furnished her table. Hey, I'm not going to leave you hungry, God's saying. Oh, I know worldly wisdom promised you a feast, but how about a real feast? She has sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come eat of my bread and drink of my wine, which I have mingled. That's the same thing that that wanton harlot-dressed woman was saying. But this here is a better, but you got to understand something first. She was flattering. Here, wisdom says, hey, stupid, hey, simple, hey, stubborn one, no flattery. I'm glad when somebody says it to me. I don't understand. I will say it this way. When I first got saved, and I've been thinking a lot about that this week, because I was, you know, I always think about that, like when I come up on the anniversary. Actually, I think about my salvation pretty often. 3 dozen years ago, and I haven't left it yet. It's remarkable to me that God would save me. I visit here often. But somebody said to me, you're a sinner. And the Spirit of God said, you're a sinner. That was a happy day. That was a happy day. I'm not a sinner. I'm a good person. Well, I'm as good as anybody else. That just kind of talk that leads somebody right down to hell. That's the thinking that I'm good. I've listened to all the ones who told me how wonderful I was, and I bought in, and I am pretty wonderful if you think about it, aren't I? I'm a United States Marine, and I'm lean, and I'm tough, and I'm rugged, and I'm just a young guy, and I got my whole life ahead of me, and I am awesome. I mean, you think about it, I'm all that. No, I'm a sinner who needs Jesus Christ. And I think it's the work of the Holy Spirit of God in a person's life that makes them come to that place. I don't know that we could do that. I don't know if it's like just a common sense thing, like figure it out. I don't think it is. I think it's always why I praise God for my salvation. It wasn't like me figuring it. It was Him saving. It was Him working in my life to show me that I was a sinner that needed salvation. And that's not a given, because most people you talk to, what do they say? I'm a good person. You're not. You're ridiculous. You're going to hell. Outside of Jesus, you're going to hell. Nobody wants to hear that. But that's the message. That's what we have to understand. Whoso is simple, well, I'm simple enough to realize that I'm simple, I guess. Let him turn in hither. And I did. As of him that wanteth understanding, and I did. She saith him, come eat of my bread. Amen. What bread is that? Everlasting. The bread that I give is my body, Jesus said. I come down from heaven. Hey, I'm your daily bread. I'm all you need. I will fill you up. I will give you what's lacking in your life. I'll tell you what you need to know. I know how to bless. Come eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth the scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. So when you're telling somebody, hey, you're a sinner, you're miserable, and they say, yeah, you're right, that's a good day. It's a good day for you, it's a good day for him, it's a good day for the kingdom. Angels are standing by, ready to celebrate. We don't get that very often. We don't understand. But rebuke a wise man and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. Now, for me to do that, you know, it's easier here in front of a microphone. Here I am slaving over a hot microphone, right? Look, sometimes you get that and you take it to yourself and I don't even know about the transaction that just happened. Praise God. When I'm sitting with you across a table with a cup of coffee, I'm not as likely to say those things. Now, sometimes someone who loves you comes to your life and they say things that you don't really want to hear. Again, we say saying this morning, look, if what they're saying isn't true, you don't need to justify yourself. You don't need an excuse if then what they're saying isn't true. If what they're saying is true, you don't have an excuse. You might as well just own it. You're right. Are you going to be happy about hearing that? No, I've never have been. I got enough ego that it stings when people rebuke me and when they're right. So what do you say? You're right. Amen. Thanks for bringing that to my attention. It's usually not easy for the person. Put yourself in their shoes. They had a, hey, can we talk? Oh, I hate this, you know. We're going to the out behind the shed, and I'm going to get whipped here. We can talk. And they tell me the thing, and it's like, but it's a good thing. It's a good day. It's give instruction to a wise man, he'll be yet wiser. Teach a just man, he will increase in learning. Men, I'm going to tell you something. Ladies, you can just go ahead and let your mind drift, okay? Think about how unsuper the Super Bowl was. Men, God gave us a wife for a reason, and if we let her, she will speak wisdom into our lives. That's not always easy to admit, but generally, I mean, most guys I know, right? Here's a couple, right? Most couples. They're about the same smart. Usually he's smarter in some things. If you play like Jeopardy, he's better at geography and mathematics. She's better at, you know, in my life, my wife's better with like social sciences and she's aware of what's going on. I'm not aware. As far as relationships, she's got it way over me. She's like really tuned in and I'm not. I'm oblivious. I don't have that. I don't get it. If someone comes in and he's crying uncontrollably, I'll say to myself, ah, he's sad. Absent that, I don't know what's going on behind anybody. She sees it all the time. And women generally do that better. So smart, they're about equal smart. Spiritual, most couples I know, the wife is more spiritual. I don't know how else to say it. Sorry, guys, I don't mean to throw you under the bus. Why? Because it's all about relationships. It's about relationship with Jesus Christ. Guys, you know anything about relationships? No, I'm in over my skis. I'm just trying the best to make ends. I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. Women are usually expert at that, and they usually have better relationships. They're usually more spiritual. Can I just say it that way? And God will use them if we can allow that, if we can humble ourselves, our wives that God has given us to help us, a help meet for us, right, can speak into our lives and give us a real blessing if we're of such and such an attitude. Now, having said that, wives, I've just empowered you, but look it, go. Remembering that a man's ego is the most fragile thing in this universe, Go slow, go real easy. Like if my wife, she has to say something to me, okay? I've been oblivious of something. I'm running over roughshod over somebody's feeling something. So she's gonna say, Adam, can we talk? Okay. Now she doesn't do this all the time. Don't think Sue's Casper's like every day beats up on me. But I just think of times where she's brought me aside and she says, can we talk? And now she's gonna start out with this, something like this. I know you love me, and I know you're a good man. Well, she's right, I do love her, and I try to be a good man, but she doesn't start out, listen here, dope. You know what you don't get, you knuckle-dragging troglodyte? You don't seem to understand or get through your thick skull. Now I'm not in, like, receptive mode now, right? Any chance she had to bless me is... But she doesn't do like that. She'll say, you know, I know you love me, but when you... And what she could say fall off that is probably very, very helpful. I have friends do it. I have friends who can do that in my life. And I have enemies do it. People don't like me because of what I stand for. But they can speak truth too. Sometimes God will use them even. Again, if what they're saying is gibberish, you can dismiss it. What they're saying is true. I needed to hear that. Look at, give instruction to a wise man, he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This isn't the first time in the book it said that. When God repeats himself, if anything, it's for emphasis. Hey, in case you were napping last time I said this, God says, I'm saying it again, I hope you're awake now. We haven't started on our journey of wisdom unless we fear the Lord. Reverential awe, well, certainly that, but I think, like, you know, it talks about, like, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil in verse 13 of chapter 8. Are those the same thing? Yeah. Fearing the Lord and hating evil, are those the same thing? Yeah. Evil is going to kill me. It's going to ruin my life. It's going to ruin my relationships. It's going to ruin my reputation. It's going to take me out of it. I love doing this more than anything. This is like, I love serving Jesus. I love Jesus. Jesus is like, and everything else is like pales by comparisons. Everything else is second place. I love my wife. Not just Valentine's Day. I love my wife all the time. She's amazing. Okay? And you guys feel about your spouses that way. Amen. Great. Tremendous. What after that? Well, I love... Yeah, well, you know, your family, your friends and stuff like this. But as when we start to get to what we do, I love to teach the Bible. What will stop me? Wickedness. I've seen it affect other people's lives, and they don't get to teach the Bible anymore. So isn't, like, the fear of the Lord, like, hating evil? Yeah. Yeah, I don't want evil in my life. It's gonna... You didn't come to church one time here and somebody's going to say, yep, we had to release him. We let him go. He was evil. He was beating his wife, selling drugs, whatever. Whatever. No, I want to be the real deal. I want to be, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou shalt bear it alone. I can't invite others with me in this quest for wisdom. Well, I can. I can invite, but I'm only wise for myself. And if I scorn, no, I don't believe any of that. I'm going to bear the brunt of my choices, for good or for evil. Now look at this, we're going to end up with the foolish woman again. Worldly wisdom, the foolish woman, the one who dresses like a harlot, remember from previous chapters? A foolish woman is clamorous. You remember no clamor in chapter 4 of Ephesians this morning? A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and she knows nothing. Now she doesn't act like she knows nothing, she acts like she knows everything. That's always a problem. The people with worldly wisdom act like they have true wisdom, but they don't. She's clamorous, she's foolish, she's a simpleton, and she doesn't know anything. Again, this isn't a real person. She's the a personification of worldly wisdom. She sitteth at the door of her house, on the seat in the high place of the city, to call passengers who go right on their ways. She's the same as wisdom. She's still in the streets calling. Look at people hunting you down for good or for worse. This one here, she's gone after you. She's trying to seduce you into folly, error, and ultimately death. She calls to passengers who go right on their ways, "Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him," look at, she's the same as regular wisdom. She's saying to the simple, to those who lack understanding, and she's got a message too. Remember wisdom's message? Come, eat of my bread and drink of my the wine which I have mingled. By the way, if you think bread and wine scripturally are always symbolic of Jesus Christ, I do too. Now hear what, look at worldly wisdom's advice. Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Oh, she's got a message, Joe. Hey, stolen waters are sweet. They're the best of all. They taste the best. Absolutely. And bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Is she wrong or is she right? Well, she's wrong, but she has a message. But people want to listen to that message all the time. Wisdom has a message. Worldly wisdom has the antithetical, the exact opposite message. Isn't that a remarkable thing there? They both have the same, they both call, they both, they're like carnival barkers, as it were, come into my big top and enjoy whatever the, you know, step right up, step right. Well, her big message, if you go into that tent there, stolen waters are sweet, bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Is it? Well, let's look one more verse. We have time for one more verse, and we'll finish the chapter. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Always leads to death. Death, worldly wisdom equals death. True wisdom, godly wisdom equals life. Now that's about as stark as contrast as we can possibly make. Okay, we'll pick up chapter 10 next time, God willing.